Thanks everyone for coming out at Spanish Fork this Sunday evening at 5 o'clock. Thanks to those who download these talks as podcasts from iTunes. We invite your comments, correspondence, and feedback by emailing us at utahchristians@gmail.com. We also have a membership class online at our website, www.utahchristians.org. I'd like to thank those that have taken the membership class to become members. We couldn't do what we do without your help and support. Everything is based on the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Today we'd like to talk to you about expecting the unexpected. Last Tuesday night we were at the governor's mansion. It was the 8th consecutive year that we were invited there to celebrate the fall festival, Diwali. Generally about 150 guests on hand, and they're served a vegetarian dinner. But before the literal food, I'm generally allowed to give a 5 or 7 minute talk to give people some food for thought before we sit down and patronize the buffet. So I talked on this theme, expect the unexpected. If you're familiar with Diwali, Diwali celebrates the return of Lord Ram after 14 years of exile in the forest. He was designated by his father to be the king. He was to be coronated the following day. If that had occurred, he would have slept in silken bed sheets, enjoyed wearing royal finery, a bejeweled crown on his head, and had the advantage of bodyguards and retainers to protect him from any enemies and opposition, and he would have enjoyed the adoration of all the citizens of Ayodhya. But something unexpected happened. There was a betrayal, there was a palace conspiracy. So instead of all that, on the morning that he was supposed to be made the king, he was instead sent into exile for 14 years into the forest. So instead of lying on fine beds, he had to take the cold, hard ground for his bed. Instead of silken robes, barks of trees, no crown, matted locks, and no retinue, no bodyguards to protect him from the cannibalistic monsters who live there in the dark woods. So the way it is in life sometimes, don't you agree? One minute you're happy, you feel like you're healthy, you're full of contentment, satisfaction, got a great job, great family, great children, and then a bit of turbulence comes your way. A routine check to the doctor turns up what could be a serious problem. Someone files a lawsuit against you. A long-term relationship turns rocky. Your mother-in-law moves in permanently. The challenge during turbulent times is to look within and to look ahead. Look within and realize that we're not these material bodies. We're not temporary. We didn't have a date of birth, and we won't have a date of death. That only refers to this bodily vehicle, the coat, the shirt, the car, if you will, but not ourselves. We're divine sparks coming from the Supreme Eternal, Krishna, God. We're made in His image, and we have the same qualities that He has. It's like the big sun globe, and then the particles of sunshine, which emanate from the sun globe, share the same quality. Sun globe has light and heat. The particles also have light and heat. So God is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge, and as emanations from Him, we're also eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. So all of us are fortunate. We're all fortunate in the very circumstances of our creation. And no bad choices or no mistakes that we've ever made or ever could make in the future will ever alter or undo the extraordinary, fortunate circumstances of our having been created. Krishna tells Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, Natu evatmam jatunasham, natvam neme jana, nachaiva bhavishami, sarvavaya matapara. God is speaking to his friend and devotee Arjuna, and there's a whole battlefield full of soldiers present there. So Krishna says, never was there a time when I did not exist. So this is God speaking, that we know, right? But then he goes on to talk about Arjuna, and Arjuna is a partial expansion, what we call a jiva, a particle from God, just like you and me. So Krishna goes on to say, nor was there ever a time when you did not exist, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. So here he's affirming not only his eternality, but our eternality as well. What does that mean? It means we existed before the creation of this universe, and will continue to exist after this universe is dissolved. So those who are in knowledge, those who are self-realized, don't let their joy be stolen when some temporary circumstances come against them. They look within. They see the big picture and who they really are beyond this body, the relatives, the country, the date of our birth, and the date of our death. And that gives solace and it brings joy. Second thing is a look ahead. Troubles come. Anybody not had any troubles come in their life? Troubles come. Being packed up in the womb for 9 months before we even see the light is not the most comfortable situation. But they don't come to stay, they come to pass. I remember all those phrases in the Bible. Famine came to pass. Epidemic came to pass. A plague came to pass. The operative word in all those phrases is pass. They didn't come to stay, they came to pass. So life may seem to have taken a plunge. You may feel like you've been being put through a ringer or that you're in a giant mixer. Others around you may be throwing up their arms and screaming and panicking right and left. But if you're looking ahead, you know that sooner or later, calm will be restored. I remember about 20 years ago, someone sent me a photocopy of an article from one of those sensationalistic London magazines, you know, our version of the Inquirer or the Globe. I think it was the London Daily News. And it told about how George Harrison, who was a Christian devotee, whose daily practice was chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, which cleanses the mirror off the dust off the mirror of the heart and enables us to see who we really are as eternal living beings. And it helps us to see things in terms of past, present, and future. So he was on a plane going somewhere, and the plane got caught in incredible turbulence. Every square inch was just vibrating crazily. And it seemed to go on for interminable second after second after second after second. And everyone thought, surely the plane is just going to disintegrate and blow apart. So people were losing it, right, left, and center. But as the newspaper recounted it, George Harrison just sat there, as calm as anything, chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In the tough times, we have to go to our faith. We have to trust that Krishna or God is piloting our plane. I read recently that if God is your co-pilot, you need to switch seats. Don't panic. Go to that place of peace, even in the midst of the storm. Another quote, trouble is inevitable, misery is optional. Trouble descends to us all from time to time. We can't avoid it, but we do have a choice as to whether we're going to fall apart in the middle of it or whether we're going to keep together. It's one thing to know that you have a challenge coming up. Maybe you've got final exams at school. Maybe you've got a contest with University of Utah, gymnastics or football or golf or something. And you can prepare yourself, you can train, you can psychologically get yourself up for the challenge. But what about the things that blindside you? What about the tsunamis, the earthquakes, the tornadoes? What about the sudden illnesses? What about the deaths of those who are near and dear to you? Divorces and other tragedies that catch you off guard. They come out of nowhere, and on a dime, your life is upside down. Christopher Reeves used to play Superman. You probably don't remember, but I do. Fit, handsome, intelligent, had it all. One day he's out on a routine horseback ride, falls off, breaks his neck, and for the rest of his life he's paralyzed from the neck on down. How did he cope? He said, the body is not who I am, the spirit transcends the body. And he said, rain falls on the just and the unjust. It falls on the land, it falls on the ocean. In a crisis, it's easy to give up your happiness, to panic, to fall apart, to lose it. But you have to realize that that crisis is not a surprise to Krishna. It may be unexpected to us, but Krishna knows the beginning from the end, the past from the present. He would not have allowed that challenge in your life unless he had a divine purpose for it. Sometimes it may seem like things are just spinning, totally out of control, but it will help to think that we are in a controlled environment, that he has each and every one of us in the palm of his hand. And for those who keep God first place, nothing can happen to them without God's permission. Our attitude should be, Lord, this surprise may look like a setback, but I know it's a setup for you to show your power in a greater way. If you're familiar with the Mahabharata, Arjuna's 16-year-old son, Abhimanyu, was unfairly killed in the battle by seven big warriors. And the cause of that was Jayadratha. So a skeptic might have looked at this circumstance. Krishna and Arjuna were on the same battlefield, and in a different part of the battlefield, Arjuna's son was slaughtered. So a skeptic might say to Arjuna, what good is your faith? What good is your God? I mean, your God was right on the same battlefield, and he couldn't protect your own son. Arjuna made a vow that night that unless he sent Jayadratha to the abode of the Lord of Death during the following day's hostilities, he himself would end his life by entering fire. So Duryodhana, the enemy's spies, took this news to Duryodhana and Duryodhana thought, if I can just keep Jayadratha alive throughout the next day's fighting, then the champion of the Pandavas will enter fire and commit, and then I'll have won the day. So what he did was, he organized his army for next day's battle. 4 million soldiers, elephant riders, chariot drivers, infantry, and cavalry, in a line. It's called the needle formation. It was 49 miles long. And Jayadratha, the target, was obviously at the other end. So in order to fulfill Arjuna's vow and send a message that you should not meddle with God or God's devotees, Krishna, driving the chariot of Arjuna, they had to either go around or through or over each and every one of 4 million soldiers, and they had to do it by sunset, because in those days, the hostilities would end when the sun went down. And they did it. They did it. There's a saying in Bengali, Raksha Krishna Mare Ke, Mare Krishna Raksha Ke. If Krishna wants to protect you, nobody can kill you. If Krishna wants to kill you, not even an army of 4 million soldiers, 49 miles long, can protect you. So sometimes crises appear in order to show God's power in a way that it's not exhibited during ordinary times. If we'll learn to view adversity as an opportunity, Krishna will use us as an example. Krishna wants your neighbors to say, what in the world? How in the world? The medical report for him said that he's finished. It said he's over, and now he's hale and hearty. What's going on here? What in the world? He got laid off of his job, but he bounced back, and now he's on his feet again. He's got a better job than he had before. We're never promised that challenges won't come, but we are promised they won't get the best of us. Rather, we'll get the better of them. And if we stay in faith, Krishna promises that when we come out the other side, everything will be abundantly restored. We'll come out better than we were before. We believe, our own philosophy, is that many difficulties come to us today because of bad choices that we made in the past. This is called karma. What goes around comes around. We may be reaping the harvest today from bad choices and mistakes that we made in the past. We tend to believe that bad things, negative things, arrive because we're doing something or we've done something wrong in the past. But that's not always the case. Sometimes obstacles, sometimes challenges, sometimes enemies confront you, not because you're doing something wrong, but because you're doing things right. Because you are making a difference. You're making a change for the better in the world. You're taking new ground for the kingdom. Maya, who is the goddess of illusion, whose job it is to keep us in this material world revolving on what's called samsara, the cycle of birth, death, disease, and old age. If we're mediocre, if we're complacent, if we're indifferent, if we're unjudgmental and critical about people around us, even if we're religious people, but we're looked down on people, we're haughty, we're arrogant, nobody wants to be like us because we're sour all the time. If we're bitter and we're discouraged, Maya won't bother you. She's going to think, I've got him right where I want him. And they're going to stay in this material world lifetime after lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. But if you get up, if you arise in faith and you move ahead, Maya will not allow you. She'll not roll out the red carpet for you. She'll throw you tests in order to see how sincere and how determined you are to see what you're made out of. But if in spite of challenges, you keep on being your best, smiling, being good to people, even if they're not being good to you, doing the right thing, even though wrong things happen to you again and again and again and again, thinking that these troubles are a sure sign that amazing things are in my future. My happiness will be fully and abundantly restored. My tests will become testimonies to others. There's a saying, your weeds will become wheat. Heard a story once of a farmer. He planted good seeds of wheat, watered them. His neighbor was envious, and so in the middle of the night, the neighbor went in and planted all these weeds. A few days went by, and the weeds started coming up. And everybody said to the farmer, are you going to take that sitting down? You should go back at night and plant weeds in his garden. Do tit for tat and even the score. But the farmer didn't bat an eyelash. He just kept watering, cultivating, and concerning himself with the good wheat he planted, knowing that in due course of time, the wheat would come up and it would eclipse the weeds. He didn't have to get distracted. He didn't have to get off course. He thought, my life is too short. My assignment is too important to get involved in tit for tat and getting back at people. If I just keep planting good seeds and taking care of them, the good seeds will ultimately push out and eclipse the weeds. Rama. Again, we refer to the Ramayana. While he was in the forest during his 14 years, actually after 13 years, his wife was kidnapped by the lusty Ravana, and she was whisked away to Sri Lanka. So she was kept there against her will as a kidnapped victim for almost 1 year. And Ram allied himself with the monkeys who cohabited the forest with him. They trekked down to southern India. They built the Setu Bande, the bridge from India to Sri Lanka. They crossed. There was a 10-day battle during which Ravan's army was basically destroyed. And finally, the last day came when Ram and Ravana were going to meet each other in single combat. So Ram, who is the ideal virtuous person, whose only business was planting good seeds. Nobody would have blamed Ram. Wife kidnapped, held captive. No one would have blamed him for just a scorched earth policy, for taking that guy out, not giving him any second chance. And yet Ram, the day before he and Ravana were supposed to meet, he offered to let bygones be bygones. If Ravana will just apologize and return his wife, they could go in their separate ways. He was planting good seeds, constantly planting good seeds, taking the higher ground, doing the right thing, even though he'd been wronged. In the Mahabharata, of course, I'm referring to two different wars, and you might think this is a pretty bloody religion, but two points I'd like to bring up. One is that in literally hundreds of thousands of years of history, there are only two wars, which is a pretty good record. I think America's probably got two wars going on at any given point in time, right? So there are only two wars in hundreds of thousands of years of history. And another point is that anybody seeing Ram or Krishna on the battlefield would automatically get salvation. That means those who are overburdened with sinful activities, who have no intention of making the right choices and putting God first place, they get the blessing of salvation, of liberation, even though they don't deserve it. So at the end of the Mahabharata war, the second war I'm talking about, Duryodhan, the evil Duryodhan, his army had been bested, he'd been defeated. Although he had tried to poison the pious Pandavas, Arjuna's brothers, he tried to burn them. He also arranged for them to be sent to the forest for exile for 13 years. The Pandavas mustered up an army, they were outmanned, they were outgunned, but they had Krishna on their side, and through the 18 days of the war, they won. They won. They got their kingdom back. But Duryodhan was still alive. And Bhima was Arjuna's brother. And Bhima and Duryodhan had a great enmity since they were kids. They had this huge rivalry. So Yudhishthira says to Duryodhan, again, he gives him another chance. He's planting good seeds all the time. He says that he could have done anything to Duryodhan. I mean, he had every right not to show him any mercy at all. But he still said to Duryodhan, he said, you've wanted to fight Bhima for a long time. And I recognize that we've won, that your army is all annihilated. But still, if you fight Bhima and you win, I'll give you the kingdom. And everybody's saying, you're out of your mind. We just fought for 18 days. We won everything. It's ours. Why are you risking everything on this throw of the dice? And Yudhishthira's attitude was, There's no such thing as a throw of the dice. God is in control. God has supported us. God has got us to where we are now. Krishna did not bring us this far to have us fail. The setbacks that we experienced were actually setups for a comeback. Right now, in conclusion, we're celebrating the month of Damodar. And this is a pastime where Krishna, when he was exhibiting his childhood pastimes about 5,300 years ago, he was up to some mischief. And his mother Yashoda, who was a great, great devotee, she wanted to tie him up to keep him stationary for a while she could finish her cooking. So there was a big mortar, you know, like blacksmiths use, very heavy mortar. And Mother Yashoda got a length of rope that she thought would be adequate for tying Krishna up temporarily to the mortar. But once she got Krishna up against the mortar and stretched the rope around, she found the rope was 2 inches too short. So she got another stretch of a length of rope and still 2 inches too short. Again and again and again and again and again. And the rope was always 2 inches too short. Similarly, when your enemies think they have you outmanned, they think they have you outnumbered, out-tricked, got you on the ropes where they want you, still Krishna manages to be 2 inches ahead of them in intelligence. Where you don't see a way, Krishna will find a way. What seems impossible for you, Krishna will make it possible. What can't happen in the natural is arranged by Krishna, who's a supernatural God. Finally, after many, many repeated efforts of trying to tie the rope, because Mother Yashoda was not challenging him, was not envious of him, was not denying him, was especially not, she was a devotee, finally Krishna agreed to be bound by the rope. And the moral of the story is that God is not conquered, God is not captured by those who are envious or competitive, but for those who approach him in pure, unadulterated, loving devotional service, God allows himself to be captured by the ropes of their love. So in conclusion, if you're alive, and if you're breathing, and I think all of us qualify, you can still accomplish amazing things for God. Whatever mistakes or whatever background you may have, whatever crises are facing you, do not let opposition, crises steal your joy or stall you from pressing forward. All things work together for your good. All things separately may not make sense, but when it all comes together one day, it'll make perfect sense. Nothing in life is wasted. And it's true, bad things happen to good people, but it's also true that Krishna-conscious people overcome the bad things and come out better than they were before. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna, "Declare it boldly, O Arjuna, one who does good is never overcome by evil. My devotees will never perish." Krishna will turn your test into a testimony. Get ready. Your unexpected difficulties are a sure sign that Krishna has something amazing planned for your future in this life and in the next life. Take you back home, back to God. Thank you very much for your kind attention. And if you receive this message, please repeat after me. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare.